Drive Time on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. Reassurance is knowing our pensions will be supporting you in the years ahead. Speak to a financial broker about a Zurich pension today.
Now, after the apparent wobble of recent days, the Taoiseach and the Taoiseach have confirmed that Ireland will vote against the Mercosur trade agreement tomorrow. Taoiseach Micheál Martin said that while progress had been made around safeguards on imported beef from four South American countries, the government did not have sufficient confidence in these measures. For more on this, I'll shortly be hearing from Lucinda Creighton, former Fine Gael Minister for European Affairs and CEO of Vulcan Consulting. But first, I want to bring in Ciarán Mullooly, Independent Ireland MEP for the Midlands Northwest. Ciarán, you're welcoming this decision today.
I am indeed, Katie. I'm very pleased that after listening to us for 18 months and changing his mind a few times, the Taoiseach Micheál Martin has finally saw sense and come forward. And for one particular reason, Katie, hasn't changed. And that at the end of the day was the problem we have, the major problem we have with the possibility of beef coming in from Brazil without proper health and safety food standards. And the implications of that for consumers, your listeners throughout the country this evening, not just in the rural areas, but in the city areas, and of course in the farming sector, where we would be effectively put on an uneven playing field because of a set of standards that apply in South America and that apply here.
And this has been said many times over recent days, but it bears saying again, there hasn't been any change in the EU standards of what beef will be accepted for import from Mercosur countries. So can you explain why you're saying that beef will be of a lower standard?
But isn't that the reason why finally the Taoiseach has listened to us? We have known for a considerable period of time about the quality of beef coming in to the system from Brazil. This week, Katie, you will know from the Farmers Journal journalist Adam Woods that we had Brazilian beef coming in under the existing system into Ireland and been discovered in the food chain, not at the abattoir in Brazil, but actually on a shelf and in a kitchen, in a house. And in that particular product, we found Astradol, which is a drug which is banned in Europe and is actually a carcinogenic drug in the first place.
Yeah.
Carcinogenic in the first place. And that, I'm afraid, is the big issue here. That's the big issue here. I wasn't prepared to stand by what this happened. And most Irish consumers and farmers are not.
Okay, but is that the big issue, Ciarán, or is it farm incomes for beef farmers in this country? That's the issue, isn't it?
In terms of order, number one, health and safety. And I don't know about your house, but in my house, that's what comes firstly. Are we eating something that's safe? And number two, you're right, there is an issue. And this was the issue the Irish farmers and the Irish government, had to deal with over the course of the last 2 years. They had a report on their table telling them that if it went ahead, we would lose out disproportionately, Katie, to other countries in Europe. And I explain why. The Irish beef sector is just huge. If you look at our annual business there, we're doing 3 billion of sales in beef. And we were going to be at the cutting edge in terms of this issue of beef coming in. Look in contrast at others in Europe. The Germans, not relying to the same extent on beef, but relying on cars. They could export they're presently exporting 22,000 cars per year to Mercosur with a 35% tariff. That was going down to zero, Katie.
Okay.
So you can see where it was a disproportionate effect on our country.
But that same report is jobs at
the end of the day.
Okay, and sorry to cut across you, Ciarán, but just to be clear as well, I mean, the figures we're talking about here from that same report that you were citing there, increased imports correspond to about 0.7% of total EU beef production.
And that's a figure which relates to the entire European Union, Katie, not particularly Ireland. Ireland, as I said, is disproportionately affected. It wouldn't be 2% of Irish. That would not be the case. Ireland, because we're exporting 90% of our beef into Europe, would be disproportionately affected. That's a fact. And that's the reason why we've stuck our heel in. Because at the end of the day, Katie, there are 200,000 jobs in this country reliant on that beef and white meat sector. And that was the reason why we stuck our heels in from day one on this deal.
Okay, you've stuck your heels in. The government is now saying it's sticking its heels in. But we know that Italy is returning. So the question now is, why burn further political capital on what is effectively a beaten docket now?
Well, I suppose this is one thing I'd like to clarify, which I'd spoke to RTE News Management this morning. I listened to 3 hours of a programme this morning with no mention of the European Parliament. You will know, and your listeners will know, that under the European arrangement, the European Parliament is the co-legislator of this deal.
Yeah,
well, that means for your listeners that there is a vote. This deal has not yet gone through.
Okay, we did.
And when
Kieran, just to be clear, our listeners already know this because it was discussed at some length on the programme yesterday, but do go ahead.
But as I say on radio this morning, if a phrase was used that the reality is the deal has gone through. Well, I have news for you. The reality is that 700 MEPs will vote on this. And when you look at it like I do from my seat in Brussels, Katie, I can honestly tell you that every party in the parliament is split on this. I can tell you that, as Fine Gael have shown today, and Fine Gael MEPs have shown, within EPP, which is the largest grouping in Europe, they are split. They will not vote down the line with their groupings. This evening I spoke to an MEP initially who told me within Maloney's own party a split has developed. And I also spoke in the last hour to the farming organisations, initially the president of Copa Gajica, who tells me that tomorrow 10,000 people will be on the streets in Milan to protest against the decision. For anybody to say that the reality is this has gone through, I think is not a fair and a proper statement at this point.
And I know Independent Ireland have that protest plan for Athlone on Saturday. You're saying you're still holding it. Are you actually saying, though, Kieran Mullooly, that you think you have the numbers in the European Parliament to block this?
The last time we had a vote, Katie, on the specific issue of the deal was back in February. We lost by 55 votes. On that day, 85 MEPs abstained. I followed up through my research in the Parliament. 28 of them were Italian MEPs. The country is split in the same way as we are. Now, obviously, Maloney, the Prime Minister, will now come forward with talk of this new cap money, the 45 billion three-card trick she's been throwing out this week. It's old money, it's not new money. And they'll talk about safeguards. But believe me, the MEPs on the ground initially are just as much tuned in as us here in Ireland. They know when they're being told something at the last minute to push a deal through. And I can say, as somebody said this afternoon on another station, this is a challenging vote for the European Parliament. It's going to split the Parliament again, and it's all to play for.
Okay. Kieran Mullooly, MEP for Midlands and North West, many thanks for that. Lucinda Creighton is in studio with us. Just on that, Lucinda, is there a possibility that this could be blocked at the Parliament level?
Well, I think the first thing to say is that when it comes to trade negotiations, it's not correct to call the European Parliament a co-legislator. I mean, the Parliament ultimately can block a trade agreement. It has to be ratified in the Parliament. But it's not a negotiator in the way that the European Commission is. The Commission leads on trade negotiations in the same way that the Council is not a negotiator. So it's a little bit different to sort of co-legislation like you have on a regulation or a directive. So the Parliament either has to vote for or against. Now, you know,
and if it votes against?
If it votes against, then Ursula von der Leyen won't be on a plane to Brazil next week. You know,
it could.
It's important that it's ratified by the European Parliament for sure. But I do think that the real block is in the Council, and it's the member states. And obviously in December there was a blocking minority, which requires a number of member states plus 35%, representing 35% of the population of the European Union, to have that blocking minority. That's now unlocked because Italy is going to vote for this. And that leaves Ireland in a very isolated position now. So the government has only today announced that there is an intention now to vote against the deal. But we're doing it at a point in time when the pendulum has actually swung in the opposite direction. So, you know, from a strategic perspective, you have to say, well, what's in it for Ireland now voting against this in terms of, you know, our broader European and global objectives? You know, we have a very important multi-annual financial framework, which includes CAP negotiations, but not exclusively, Horizon, research and innovation, all of that stuff. And you know, there's an argument that by voting against this, we position ourselves, amongst other things, but by being in the blocking, the unsuccessful blocking part of the council, that we're actually isolating ourselves and not really getting anything for it, because ultimately the thing is going to pass anyway. So what's the value for Ireland?
Well, I suppose Micheál Martin is probably looking at his own government. The value for him is he holds his government together. They don't burn the political capital at home, because they obviously did campaign on voting no on Mercosur in the last election. They put this government together on that basis. Mm. And it was clear that they were going to be in very considerable political difficulty if they turned on that at this stage.
Yeah, look, I mean, I'm not here to evaluate the programme for government. I think, you know, that's my personal view, is that that was a short-sighted move by the two main government parties. But they did write it into the programme for government. I mean, Ireland is an open, modern, dynamic economy. We've benefited more pretty much than any other, certainly than any other EU member state, and more than almost any country globally, from globalisation, from free trade. We export more per capita than most. Our economy has transformed over the last 30 years because we have embraced the single market in the European Union, and because we have embraced the benefits of free trade. And this is a, you know, this is a market of 300 million people. If the EU and the and Mercosur countries conclude this trade agreement in the coming weeks, it will make us account for between our two populations over 750 million people, a quarter of the global economy. It is enormous, you know, in terms of the scale and the opportunity for all of the other sectors in the Irish economy, including agriculture. And I think, you know, narrowly focusing on one subsector is probably not very strategic, being honest, particularly when the deal is going to go through in any case.
Okay. In practical terms, like, we've often, the governments here have often shipped some criticism for being or wanting to be the best boy in the class and going further than they need to go in terms of our commitment to the EU. In this case, if we don't play ball, we're not on the right side of this in terms of the Commission. Like, practically, what could be the fallout for us?
So being the best boy or girl in the class should never be the objective. We have strategic national interests and we should be talking about them. You know, so what are our strategic national interests? What, you know, our economic model, our open economy is the most important strategic national interest. And, you know, voting against free trade agreements just doesn't align with those strategic national interests.
But how could they, how could it come back and bite us?
Well, briefly, for starters, you have the multi-annual financial framework. So that's the first thing that's coming up. It'll be advanced under Ireland's presidency of the Council later this year. The expectation is that Ireland will actually lead the negotiation for the conclusion of the Council part of that between the member states by December of this year. So we are going to be in a weakened position now. Like, the Italians are going to be in a great position because Meloni has played a clever game. You know, she has held out, she has negotiated, she's certainly been a thorn in the side of the Commission on this trade agreement. But ultimately, when that 45 billion, which Kieran Mullooly mentioned earlier, is
factored in. He said it's old money.
Well, it's front-loaded money, but it's not old money, because there's a framework for the budget. And I was deeply involved in these budget negotiations two rounds ago, if you like, and the reality is that money will come from somewhere else, but it will be dispersed between member states. And we have to remember that Ireland actually punches way above its weight when it comes to common agricultural policy payments. You know, we do way better than the Central and Eastern European countries, for example, and, you know, that advantage is cannot be taken for granted. Okay. So that's a really important area where there will be risk, but there will be many others on, you know, policy asks around legislation, regulation, the digital economy, financial services. These are huge sectors in our economy. So we don't just have one sector, unfortunately. We have a large, diverse economy.
What you're basically saying is we will pay a price for this down the line if we end up voting no. I'm going to have to end it there, Lucinda, but I think that's what we're taking from that. Lucinda Creighton, former Fine Gael minister and now CEO of Vulcan Consulting. Many thanks.